If you would, open your Bibles with me, the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Eric Floyd is preaching in Pikeville, Kentucky this morning. We want to remember him and hope Tom and Bridget have a resting and a relaxing vacation. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. We'll begin our reading in verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not to words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We'll end our reading there. All right, let's stand together as Sean leads us in singing our call to worship.
Brethren, we have met to worship God our Father. We embrace He who chose us for His purpose, cleansed and saved us by His grace. Worship, honor, power, and glory unto Christ the Lord belong. He is worthy of our worship. He's the subject of our song. Brethren, we have met to worship Christ our prophet, priest, and king. Let us bow in adoration, let His praises loudly ring. Worship, honor, power, and glory unto Christ the Lord belong. He is worthy of our worship, He's the subject of our song. Brethren, we have met to worship God, the Spirit on us flow. Even though we are but worthless, let our praises freely flow. Worship, honor, power, and glory unto Christ the Lord belong. He is worthy of our worship. He's the subject of our song.
Okay, if you would please turn in your red hymnal to song number 75, Abide With Me.
Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. Oh, thou who changest not, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, oh, abide with me. Hold thou thy word before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me.
If you would please open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right, and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called, for the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in his spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and it bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Thank God for his word and bow in prayer. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning's service thus far and allowing us to be here to open your word and to read it and to be taught out of it. Thankful for your kindness and mercy towards sinners, your righteousness which is provided through the blood and sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, increase our faith in him. Cause him to be our only hope each day. Cause us to be anchored on him. Let us not be moved. What a precious sacrifice was made to atone for sin. Help us to realize each day that he's our only hope, and that let us not look to ourselves in any way, but only hope in thee. Father, we ask that you be with Frank as he comes to stand here in a moment to preach your word to us. Strengthen him and give him clear words for a simple people. Cause us to learn and worship our Lord Jesus Christ in this hour. Show us his glory and let us worship him as we ought. Father, we ask that you be with Eric and other men, your servants that stand and preach this morning as well. Let the gospel run well in those places also. Father, for those that are continuing to go through difficult times and trials and troubles, treatments, surgeries, recovery from surgeries, be with them. We all will have our time in a dark place. By your will, these things come, and by your will, healing occurs if it be your will. Cause us and comfort us. Comfort us to know that these are all by thy hand and to serve a purpose, and let us learn from them. Continue to ask you watch over each one in this assembly, our families, our children. Continue to pray for our children and family members that know not thee. To be your will, Father, remove the blindness of their eyes and their heart to show them Christ. Continue to call your people through the preaching of the gospel. Again, Father, we seek a true hour of worship this morning. These things we ask and we pray in that name that's above every name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within thy word, and in thy book revealed I see the
All right, let's open our Bibles again now to 2 Timothy chapter 2, passage that we read to open the service this morning. I titled the message, The Foundation of God Standeth Sure. I took my title from verse 19, which says, Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Now the foundation of God's elect, foundation of faith, the foundation of salvation is one foundation. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like everything concerning salvation, the foundation of faith, the foundation that God has laid for his people is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And sinners like you and me need a foundation like that. We need a foundation that can withstand the full force of God's wrath against the sin of his people. Look over at Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28. If the foundation of our faith can't withstand the wrath of God against our sin, we'll perish eternally. That's how serious this matter of the foundation is. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because you have said, we've made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we've made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. That's what you say. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. If the foundation of our faith, foundation of our salvation is our works. Is what we think, what we do, what we've plotted, what we've made, our refuge will be destroyed. And our soul will be destroyed with it. That's how serious this matter is of having the right foundation, a good foundation. But God says, if the foundation is a stone that God laid, the Lord Jesus Christ, then your soul is secure. Your soul is secure because your foundation cannot be washed away. If Christ is the foundation of your faith, if Christ is the foundation of all of your salvation, then your soul is secure. It's safe. It can't be moved because Christ can't be moved. See, he already bore the overflowing scourge against the sin of his people. He already bore the wrath of God for the sin of his people. He bore it, like we saw in our lesson this morning, until that wrath was gone. There's no more of it left. He died for sin, and he rose again. You know why he rose again? Because the sin that had been charged to him is gone. And Christ, our foundation, was never moved by it. He was never moved by the wrath of God. He was never moved by the fire of God against the sin of his people. He was not swept away by God's wrath and fury against sin. And nothing else is going to move him either. Nothing else. He cannot be moved. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want us to be absolutely certain here that the foundation of faith is Christ alone. You know, God talks about laying a foundation, laying a stone. Well, how do I know that that stone is Christ? How do I know that rock is Christ? Well, the apostle tells us here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. And another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. See, the foundation, the stone that God has laid for the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's Christ. It's Christ alone. It's one foundation. It's one rock. It's not Christ plus the mortar of your works. It's not Christ plus the mortar of your morality. It's not Christ plus the mortar of your orthodoxy. It's not Christ plus the ceremonies. It's Christ alone. Christ alone. The foundations that stand sure and immovable is Christ. That's why this whole thing of salvation can't be moved, because Christ can't be moved, and it can only ever be Christ. It's only ever Christ. Now, since that's true, the apostle, back in our text, gives us four things to preach, to keep preaching, four things to hear, and keep hearing as we go through this life below. Number one is this. Since the foundation is Christ, and we've established that, since the foundation is Christ, keep preaching Christ. Look what Paul says in verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance. Keep reminding them. You know, God's servants never get a new message. There are no new revelations. The message is always Christ. We just keep reminding people of Christ. Our message is their spiritual life through the death of Christ our substitute. If Christ died for you, you must live. That's the way we have life, because he died the death we deserve. Our message is the forgiveness of sin by the blood of Christ. God forgives what's been washed away by the blood of Christ. It's been washed away. It's not there. So God forgives it because it's been cleansed away in the blood of Christ. Our message is that sinners are made holy and righteous through the obedience of Christ our representative. It's by his obedience to the law. Not mine. It's his. It's his. He is our righteousness. Our message is that there is grace and mercy reserved for sinners, and it's through our Lord Jesus Christ. God can be merciful if Christ satisfied justice for you. That he can only be merciful in truth. He can only be gracious, but when justice is satisfied, God has grace and mercy for his people because Christ satisfied justice. If you would have grace and mercy, go to Christ. It's all in him. Our message is that God's elect are accepted in the beloved. In the beloved, in the beloved, in the beloved. It's not our good works. It's not our morality. It's in the beloved. It's all because of him. Our message is this: salvation from beginning to ending. Whatever, if you want to break down salvation into parts, whatever part of it that you want to talk about, whatever facet of it you want to talk about, from beginning to ending. It's Christ. It's Christ. You know, I've been preaching for 28 years now. Before I became a pastor, I filled in a lot of places. It's been 28 years. I remember my first message. I remember it vividly, don't you? Christ was my message. It was Christ. And I fully intend, by God's grace, that Christ will be my final message. He's all we got. He's all I've got to tell you about. We don't have another message of God's love other than Christ. How do we know that God is love? How do we know God loves his people? He sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. It's all in Christ. We don't have another message of salvation and forgiveness and eternal life other than Christ. It's all him. We don't have another message to guide the believer's walk other than Christ. People say, well, how do you know how you're supposed to live? You know how you're supposed to live. How do I know which way I'm going to go? Just keep looking to Christ and follow him. You'll be just fine. I promise you he'll lead you the right way. The only way we have to talk about the believer's walk is Christ. It's all him. And the job of God's preachers is to remind people of that over and over and over and over again. Our job is to preach Christ again. Because maybe, this is my constant prayer, maybe there's going to be some lost sheep here. They didn't hear before. They didn't believe before. Maybe today they will. I had a dear friend who had his children in the service. And he realized what was going on. He sent his children out of the building. He said, what if this is the day they decide to sit up and listen? What if the day, today is the day somebody, God makes them sit up and listen? Hope my message is Christ, don't you? Hope. Our job is to preach Christ again. Because this flesh is constantly trying to get that old believer's eye off of Christ. And we need to be reminded. The flesh is constantly trying to get us to trust the works of our flesh at least just a little bit. The flesh is constantly trying to get us to do that. So we need to be constantly reminded of Christ. To look to Him. To trust Him. To keep trusting Him. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to keep reminding this. To me it's not grievous, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul said, it's not grievous for me to say the same thing over and over to keep reminding you of Christ, because it's good for us. It's safe for us to be reminded to trust Christ alone. It's safe for us to beware of evil workers. And evil workers are not, you know, drug peddlers and people, just all the open sin that you think of when you think of evil workers. I tell you who the evilest of workers are. They're very religious. And they wrap their religion in the flesh. They make it depend upon the flesh. It's not founded on the foundation, on Christ alone. That's so evil. Nothing can be more evil than that. Those who've been given a new heart, they worship God in the Spirit. And we need to be reminded of that. We're not worshiping God in form. We're not worshiping God in the ceremony. We're not worshiping God out of habit. We worship God in the Spirit. And they rejoice in Christ Jesus. They're not rejoicing in their works because they have no confidence in the flesh. They rejoice in Christ Jesus because they have confidence in Him. And our confidence in Him is strengthened when we're reminded. Reminded. We need to be reminded. There's a song that says, remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. You wouldn't think we'd forget, but we do. Humans forget. So remind me. Remind me, dear Lord. And that's the job of God's preachers. To constantly remind us by preaching Christ and Christ alone. By preaching Christ and Him crucified absolutely every time God gives us the opportunity to preach. Keep preaching Christ. Keep reminding people of Christ. Now, the second point is closely related to the first one. Since Christ is the only foundation, don't get off on a tangent. Don't get off on a tangent. Look what Paul says in verse 14. All these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now, since salvation is all Christ, it's all Him. It's all founded upon Him. It's all built upon Him. It's all held together by Him. It's all Him. Don't get caught up looking and studying anything else, anything other than Christ. Since salvation is all Christ, don't get caught up studying something that will not lead you directly to Christ. Something that does not lead you directly to Christ, those are words of no profit. There's no benefit to your soul in those things. And it's very easy for us to do. Oftentimes people get caught up in words to no profit by trying to find the answer to things that are not clearly revealed in Scripture. You know, it could be interesting to the flesh, but there's no clear answer to it in Scripture. Well, then why bother studying it? I'll give you an example. Trying to figure out when Christ will return. Wouldn't it be a whole lot better to study Christ who is returning? People wonder, they argue about this. Is there going to be a revival among the Jews? Wouldn't it be a whole lot better to study the Savior who can save any sinner, Jew or Gentile? Personally, I hope there would be a revival among the Jews. But I tell you, if there is, how's it going to happen? It's going to happen through the preaching of Christ. I'll tell you another way people get off on a tangent. Trying to prove how orthodox they are. I like to be orthodox. I like to be right in the things that we do. But you get off on a tangent by trying to prove how straight and how conservative your religion is. And when you do that, you know what you end up doing to people? You end up adding to Christ. You make up rules of conduct. Oh, believer. This is the way a believer's got to act. You know, if you don't act this way, you're not a believer. Well, you've just put a burden on somebody. Instead of taking the burden of sin off of them by pointing them to Christ. See that? You know, a believer believes Christ. And that, I mean, a believer by very definition believes, right? Well, then just keep preaching Christ to them over and over and over and over again. You know what believers will do? You know how the believers will be made manifest? They'll believe. Just keep preaching the Christ that they believe. I'll tell you another way people get off on a tangent. It's by getting a pet doctrine. It may be a true doctrine. It could be something that's true. It could be something that's good. But they take that doctrine and they exalt it above every other doctrine in every other teaching of Scripture. Something that's true. But they twist it, they get it out of proportion and give a distorted view of salvation. It doesn't give a clear description of Christ. And if that happens, people are hurt. Their souls are hurt. Paul says it's to their subverting. You know what that subverting means? It doesn't just necessarily mean you're just off on a tangent. You're just a little bit over here when you should be over here. It means destruction. It means the destruction of their souls. Getting off on a tangent causes people's souls to be destroyed. Because if you're on a tangent, you're off the foundation. You're off the mark. You're off of Christ. Then people get off on a tangent trying to come up with their own doctrine. And this is just human nature manifest, right? I want to make a mark for myself. I want to find something new. And they make up a new doctrine. Now, it often will contradict the Word of God. It almost always does. But, you know, they explain it away. Say, well, the Word doesn't really mean what it says. You know, it can't mean that because I don't understand it, they say. And what they're doing is they're bringing their theology down to what the natural mind can understand. And all that is an idol. God cannot be understood. And Paul gives us an example of two men that did that. Verse 17. He says, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now these two men said, they were preachers, they're getting people, you know, getting their ears, said that the resurrection is past already, that there is no resurrection of the dead. And they said, there can't be. They said, I've never seen it. Have you ever seen somebody that was dead raised back to life? Have you? Well, they say then it can't be. I just don't understand how it could be somebody whose body is dead and started to decay can be raised again. Or somebody who's dead and gone back to the dust, how can they ever be raised again in that same body? They say, I don't understand it. And they must have been saying this, trying to show people, you know, how smart they were. And this is what I would ask folks that don't believe in the resurrection. Then why bother with any kind of religion whatsoever? Whether it's true or false. Why bother with any kind of religion at all if there's no resurrection of the dead? If this flesh is all that there is. And when this flesh dies, it's like a dog dying. It is no more. Why bother? Just seek pleasure in the flesh thing, you know. But these men came up with this new doctrine in an attempt to draw people after themselves. And once you look at Acts chapter 20, you think, well, I mean, that can't happen to us. That can't happen to people who are, you know, well-taught and well-grounded and in the Word. I want you to look who Paul said would do this. And in doing this, Paul says that they erred. They erred. It's not just, well, they missed a question on the test and they can still, you know, you can miss a question on a test and still get an A if there's enough questions, right? Good. But that's not what Paul means here. He says they missed the mark. They've completely missed the mark. They've missed Christ. And I'll tell you what's worse. That's bad enough. What's worse is they cause others to miss Christ too. Look what Paul says here in Acts 20, verse 29. This is his farewell to the Ephesian elders. I mean, this is the Ephesian elders. I mean, these men, whew, they've been taught. They've heard some preaching. Look what he says here, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. That's why they say these perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. But I'm just sure that's what these two men, Hymenaeus and Philetus, were doing. And I point this out just so we can beware, to be on the lookout for people like this now. They're dangerous. They're dangerous to our souls, even arising from the Ephesian elders. Now be careful. Be careful of them, because Paul says their word does eat as a canker. And the word means a gangrene. It just slowly eats the victim up and devours them, destroys them. You know, you get a little gangrene in your toe. So, it's just there on my little toe. It's not that big a deal. And eventually it eats up your foot. It eats up your leg. It gets into the internal organs and kills you. It might not do it today, but it's gonna. That's what their word does eat as a gangrene, eats you away from Christ. Now, these are words to no profit. They don't lead to Christ. They're not harmless curiosities. They're not harmless infatuations. They're not things, new things that the church needs to be taught. These are things that kill the souls of men and women that get caught up in. They kill them. They kill their souls. Paul says these words overthrow the faith of some. Now, I know they're not going to overthrow the faith of God's elect. We'll look at this in a minute. That foundation stands sure, but they overthrow the faith of some. Some who are pretenders, some who just have a curiosity, some who just have a mental agreement, and they overthrow the faith of some. Well, how do they do that? How do they overthrow the faith of some? Well, these words to no profit. They make somebody depend on something, on anything other than Christ alone. And it can be Christ plus this, that, or the other. Their word, this word means they'll destroy the faith of some. They destroy that faith. And without faith in Christ, our souls are going to perish. Now, that's how serious this matter is. And we need to always be reminded of this. These words to no profit don't add to faith. These words to profit of no profit. They don't make our religion better. They don't make our faith better. They destroy it. They destroy it. And more than likely, these things are not going to lead you to open sin. More than likely, they're not going to do that. I don't think you'd be fooled by that. Religious people probably wouldn't be fooled by that. I tell you what they're going to do. They're going to lead to more moral living. That's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to lead to more moral living and make you start thinking you're better than somebody else. Don't do it. It'll lead to more morality. And all that is sin and ungodliness. Look at verse 16. Paul says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they'll increase unto more ungodliness. Now, these religious words to no profit, they're vain babblings. Blah, blah, blah. Like Charlie Brown, you know, when adults speak, that's all they are. There's no meaning to them. There's no truth to them. There's no depth to them. There's nothing of Christ in them. There's nothing helpful in them. They're vain babblings. And they lead to more vain babbling. Blah, 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 blah. Leads to more blah, 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 blah. Leads to more words of no meaning. And like I say, they're not going to lead you into the bars. They're not going to lead you into prostitution and open sin. They're going to lead you to outward morality. More and more and more outward morality. And buddy, I'm all for more morality. I'm all for it. I know I'm getting old. This society is driving me batty. I long for the day that men were men. I mean, I long for that day. I mean, where a man's honest and upright and integrity and goes to work every day and takes care of his family, loves his wife, don't cheat on her, and takes care of her. A mother takes care of her family and takes care of her child. I long for those days. I long for that. But listen, outward morality is evil if you start trusting your soul to it. If you start thinking you're making God happy with you by what you're doing. Because you know what you're doing? You're adding your morality to Christ. Thinking that makes you better. I ask you now, what can be more evil than that? What can be more evil than sinful creatures like you and me thinking we can add something to Christ and make ourselves better? Nothing can be more evil to that. And Paul said, when you hear those words, you shun them. You shun them. You run away from them. You shun those words and you shun those people who say those words. Don't tolerate it. I mean, don't tolerate it for a second. Don't act like, well, you know, it's okay. And because I tell you what you do when you do that, you put your seal of approval on it. You just put your seal of approval on it. Shun them to the saving of your soul. To show them, just shun them to the saving year so you're not putting your seal of approval on this error. I've just finished reading a book about the opioid epidemics and heroin epidemics. So my mind's been kind of there as I've been reading this book. But I thought of this illustration. Would you remain friends with somebody, been your lifelong friend, and then they start selling heroin? And they start trying to push this heroin on your children. You stay friends with them? Of course you're not. It kills people. It ruins their lives. Isn't Christ more important than that? Huh? Isn't your soul more important than that? Don't get off on a tangent now. People perish if you do. People perish. Our faith, our trust, our hope, and our confidence must always be Christ alone. And I don't care how long we live in the faith, we'll never grow past that. We'll never grow past total dependence on Him. So don't get off on a tangent. All right, the third thing. Since the foundation of faith, it's Christ. The foundation of salvation is Christ. Then study and preach the Word. Because that's where you'll find Him. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, this word study, it means more than to look at something, to look at it repeatedly or to memorize it. It means exert oneself. It means give diligence to it. And it means to make haste. Make haste to it. You know, Paul makes it sound like this thing of preaching the word is serious. Well, it is. It is serious. It is a life and death situation. It really is. And we should treat it as such. Paul tells us work hard. Work hard in prayer. Work hard in studying God's Word to find Christ in every passage. Work hard in prayer. Work hard in study to find God's message for the hour. Not my message. God's message. Not to find a list of true statements, but to find God's message for the hour. God's message for His people. Now I know that only the Lord can give the increase. But I know this is also true. Put your whole self into it. Put everything you've got into it. Both in preaching and in hearing. Put your whole self into it now. Give diligence to it. Make haste to it. Put prayer to it. Because your life depends upon it. The life of your soul depends upon it. We're not playing games here now. We're not playing games. We're not trying to attract followers to ourselves. We're trying to get folks to look to Christ, to come to Christ, to believe Him. Their soul depends upon it. Paul says, study, so that you're a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Now, how ashamed should we be? How ashamed should I be if I come up with my message instead of God's message for you? We should be ashamed if we care so little for the souls of people and we care so little for the glory of Christ that we don't preach Christ to them, that we try to want some glory for ourselves. And this is something that we should be reminded and warned about. I hope we don't ever become casual about preaching. How many times I think about when I was a child, did Brother Henry warn us about this? Don't become casual about preaching. And nothing's changed. As a matter of fact, we may need to say it more emphatically than ever. Don't become casual about preaching, about doing it, or about hearing it. I hope we don't treat the preaching of Christ, the preaching of His Word, the teaching of God's Word, as something that's common and ordinary. Just because the large majority of this congregation has had access to such good preaching for years and years and years and years. Sean, your entire life long. Cecil, your entire life long. As long as you remember, I bet. Well, is that just going to make us treat it casually? That blessing is so rare, it ought to make us hang on to it harder. It really should. Now, this is so important. Study the Word. Study the Word to see Christ. Don't study for any other reason. Study the Word to see Christ so that you believe Him. If you already believe Him, study the Word to see Christ so you believe Him more. Study the Word to see Christ because He's only revealed in the written Word. Listen to preaching. Not to be critical of the preacher. That's going to be easy. I mean, the best preacher you ever heard is going to be easy to be critical of him. Listen to the Word. Study the Word. Not to see if he's got everything down just right. Listen to preaching to hear Christ again. To hear of Christ so that you trust Him, so that you believe Him more fully. Listen to that preaching to hear of Christ again. Christ your life. Listen to that message. Hear of Christ so you can feed on Him. So you can be encouraged by Him. Paul says, rightly divide the word of truth. And when he says rightly divide, you know what the word means, the phrase means? It means cut it straight. Like the Old Testament sacrifices, cut it straight. Don't mangle God's word. Cut it straight. And the phrase actually means give the right meaning of it. When you're talking about cutting the word, just cut it straight. It means give the true meaning of the text. Well, the true meaning of the text is Christ. Then make that plain. Don't muddy the waters. Make it plain. It's Christ. Don't twist the word. Don't have your doctrine and then try to twist the word and make the word say what you want it to say that match your doctrine. Cut it straight. Give the true meaning. Give a clear view of Christ. And if your doctrine don't match that, change your doctrine. Give a clear view of Christ. Just say what the word says. That's rightly dividing the word of truth. Vain babblings. Here's how you can identify vain babblings. They always lead away from Christ. A message that rightly divides the word of truth always leads to Christ. All right, here's the fourth thing. Since the foundation is Christ, preach and believe Christ with confidence. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, I want to close this message with a word of comfort and assurance for God's people in troubled times. There is so much trouble in our world today, and I imagine there always has been. I know there always will be. But I see the world that we live in now. I see things that are happening now. And we care about people. You see suffering going on in the world. I hate to see so much suffering going on in the world. I hate to see ignorance. I hate to see hate causing so much harm to people. And, you know, that kind of thing is not just happening over in the Middle East. Now, it's getting mighty close to home. And I know that the future is not uncertain. It's not uncertain at all. You know, the Lord's ordained what's going to happen. He's going to carry out his purpose. There's no uncertainty in that whatsoever. But it's uncertain in this way. I got no idea what's going to happen next. I know the Lord's going to carry out his purpose. I know his will shall be accomplished, but I don't know what his will is. I don't know what his purpose is going to be. The Lord's ordained it, but I don't know what's going to be. So it's uncertain in that way. And it causes some concern. And like I say, maybe I'm just getting older. I'm getting to worry about things more. I don't know. But I see an alarming trend for people who claim to be believers. And maybe they are. Probably they are. I don't know. But anyway, people in the church to make their social and political views to be their religious views. To attach a religious fervor to their political and social views. Now you talk about words to no profit. There's nothing more unprofitable to the soul of a believer than how this world's governed. Let the potsherds of the earth strive with the potsherds of the earth. Be a good citizen and vote by all means. But don't attach your religion to it. I don't care which party gets elected. Neither one of them's godly. Neither one of them. And when this world has gone off its rocker and people are going off the deep end now, I know it's troubling. It's so troubling to me. I was talking about with two pastors this week about this very issue. It's so troubling. But listen to me. Listen to me. The world's always been going to hell in a handbasket. Listen to me. Don't let that shake your confidence in Christ. People do crazy things. People go off the deep end. People disappoint you. Don't let that shake your confidence in Christ. Don't let that shake your confidence in the gospel. Don't let it subvert your faith. Don't let it destroy your faith in Christ. The foundation of God stands sure. The Lord Jesus Christ stands sure. That foundation will never waver. Never. He will never, ever let you down. Ever. And it has this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. The word seal means the seal in a wax seal that the king would put his ring in. The seal of the King of Kings has been sealed with his ring, sealed with his power. The Lord knows them that are his. He knows them. He knows where they're at. He knows what they're going through. He knows where they're going. And he'll not lose one of them. He'll not lose one of them. This thing is sure. You know why it's sure? Because it's based on Christ, not our works. It's based on Christ's character, not our character. And I know it seems like the waves of trouble are just rolling and being crashing on our society, on just everything. I know that. But you know, the waves crashing on the sand can cause beach erosion. I've been to the beach twice immediately following a hurricane. And they call that mound of sand between the hotel and the beach. That, you know, it's gone. I mean, it used to be there as far as you could see, north and south, up and down the beach. It's gone. I've been to the beach one day, and there was a big old party going on. There's this pier that went way, 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 way out in the ocean. I came back 3 days later after a hurricane, and that thing was gone. That pier, there weren't even toothpicks left. It was gone. The waves crashing on the beach can cause beach erosion. But brother, the Rock of Gibraltar is not going to be changed. Not going to be changed. And those waves of trouble, those waves of awfulness in our day, I can tell you this, they're going to cause some beach erosion, but they're not going to change Christ, the Rock of Ages. He's going to be there, unmovable, unchanged, when they're all gone. And that's our confidence. That's our confidence. And that lets us face what we call an uncertain future with complete and utter confidence and rest for our souls. He's not going to change. All right. I hope the Lord bless that to you. Let's bow together. Our Father, oh, how I pray you bless your word. Father, bless it to your glory. Take this word and reveal to the hearts of your people the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and cause us to rest in him. Cause us to be reminded one more time that Christ is all we need. He's all we need since Christ is all. He is the one sure foundation upon which our souls can be kept safe. Father, how we thank you for your mercy and your grace to your people, your love to your people in providing such a foundation. Father, I pray you'd cause us to rest in it, that you would be gracious to cause us to see him and to cling to him. For it's in his blessed name we pray. Give thanks. Amen. All right, Sean.
If you would, please stand and turn to song number 511, Face to Face.
Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Only faintly now I see him, with the darkling veil between. But a blessed day is coming, when his glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Walk rejoicing in his presence, when our banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened, and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Face to face, O blissful moment, face to face to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the stars.